Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Lao Tzu once said, "He who knows does not speak. He who speaks does not know." I interpret the meaning of that quote to be, those who are truly knowledgeable do not feel the need to tell everyone else just how knowledgeable they are. Those who boast their knowledge do so because they are compensating for their lack of it. The topic of today's show is the know-it-all personality, and I have to admit that I am uncomfortable placing labels such as this one on other people. The only reason I'm doing it for this show is that I believe it is the best way to convey this particular subject matter in a way that others will relate to it. So please excuse me for the label. I truly mean no harm. We have all encountered the know-it-all personality type. Just hearing the phrase know-it-all probably conjures up images of the faces of people you know who are like this, the kind of people who have poor listening skills and who tend to dominate every conversation, the kind of people who do not want to learn anything new about a topic, no matter what the subject matter is, because they believe they already know everything about it. In fact, it appears that they know everything about everything, or so they would like us to think. The know-it-all enjoys talking and listening to himself talk. He believes that he is intellectually superior and that his wealth of knowledge far exceeds everyone else's. And he uses every opportunity to demonstrate his expertise, often exaggerating his position to reinforce his point. Since he believes that he is an authority on every subject, he tends to tune out or dismiss other suggestions and opinions, whether they are the same or different than his own. Some know-it-alls will use the points that others make as a jump-off point to one-up them and show their expertise on the topic. It's very common to find know-it-alls in group settings like offices or classrooms. They are not team players and can be very difficult to work with because they have to be right about everything. They cannot admit to being wrong or not having all the answers. They will never give others the satisfaction of proving them wrong, no matter how much evidence there is to the contrary or how many people oppose them, and they will argue their point to exhaustion. They're instigators who find great satisfaction in winning arguments. Later on in the show, I'll make some suggestions on how to deal with these kind of people. Know-it-alls fall into two categories, humorously named the Websters and the Clavins. Websters, named after the Webster's Dictionary, because these people are walking books of knowledge, true experts on the topics they speak about. They are highbrow intellectuals, highly cultured, and well-spoken. They may act superior, arrogantly patronizing those they rope into listening to their lectures. It's hard to get away from a Webster because he loves to hear himself talk and tell you what he knows. This type of know-it-all is overly confident and not willing to change. They do not want the help or input of others, often becoming impatient and disagreeable when contradicted or challenged. The second type of know-it-all, the Clavins, was named in honor of the infamous Cliff Clavin from the television show Cheers. You all remember Cheers. Cliff Clavin pretended to know everything about everything, but actually knew very little. Clavins only know a little bit about a lot of subjects, yet pretend to be experts on every one of them. They learn enough about a topic to be able to impress others in conversation. These types of people try to sound educated, but actually do not know what they are talking about. Whatever topic is brought up, they will dominate the conversation, trying to impress others with their pseudo-knowledge. Many psychologists agree that know-it-alls, whether Websters or Clavins, have one personality trait in common. That trait is narcissism. They have a tireless need to impress others with their intellect or value of any kind because they lack self-esteem and feel the need to prove their worth. They need a constant diet of validation from others to overcome their feelings of insecurity and worthlessness. Many know-it-alls suffered shame or lack of attention in their childhoods and spend the rest of their lives overcompensating, trying to get those needs met by constantly trying to show others how valuable they are. While tirelessly trying to impress others, they actually accomplish the exact opposite. People get tired of listening to them talk and lose respect for them. When the know-it-all perceives that he is being disapproved of or losing his audience, he tries even harder to get attention. That just pushes others away even more. This is unfortunate because when they do have something of value to share, nobody will pay attention to them. I know someone who is a tireless know-it-all. This person waits like a spider to catch someone in his web, corners them, and then holds that person hostage, droning on and on about boring subject matter. He knows that he's boring the other person, but has an obsessive need to share his knowledge with no regard to the other party's level of interest. If you say that you're not interested in the topic, he'll say, "I know, but just let me bore you for a few more minutes." And he demands eye contact from his subject and will move his head every which way to keep his victim's eyes lined up with his. He is mentally draining to be with. He does not listen to what others have to say because he's always preoccupied with what he wants to say once he gets a chance. Anyone who knows the potential risk that comes with being in his company do everything possible to avoid being caught alone with him. That's unfortunate because he is intelligent and does have some interesting things to share, but he doesn't do it in a way that interests others, and he doesn't know when to stop. Many have tried to explain to him the effect he has on others, but it is to no avail. He seems so pitiful and needy that his victims feel bad walking away. Once caught in this type of hostage situation, it is very difficult to extricate oneself from it. There's no polite way to do it. You can only hope that someone will notice what's going on and pull you away. Know-it-alls are difficult people to deal with. No one likes them. Their behavior is annoying, off-putting, and exhausting. A conversation with them is never a two-way street. They talk and expect us to listen. We're not given the opportunity to freely share our thoughts and opinions, which makes us feel unnecessary to the conversation. They are the speaker. We are their audience. We never feel like anything we say is heard. Instead, it seems as if we are being preached to. The behavior is unappreciative, rude, and sometimes even condescending. There are ways of dealing with people like this, though the communication will never be altogether comfortable or fulfilling. But sometimes we have to do it to get along in life, whether it is with our family, at our job, at school, or in social situations. There are right and wrong ways to do that, and patience is the key. Arguing is the wrong way. Either they resent others not listening to them or agreeing with them, or they thrive on being challenged and will argue nonstop to prove their point. The last thing you want to do is put them on the defensive. If you feel the need to contradict something they say, one way to do it is to give them an easy out. You may say something like, "Oh, I guess you didn't hear the latest update on the topic. Experts are now saying that," etc. Or you can say, "You know, I thought that was true too, but then I found out." Some things they say may be true. You may agree with them. So validating their knowledge may be a good thing to do if it helps them move on. If nothing else, it puts a pause in their rant. You might say, "Yes, point well taken. I can definitely see why you say that." Now, if it only encourages them to spout off more information, you may need to apply another tactic. Another tactic is asking them to consider alternatives. Since they have the need to be right, first validate their position by saying, "I understand the way you see it." Then point out that everyone has a different perspective and maybe there's another way. If that doesn't work, you can say that you just don't see it the way they do and that you will have to agree to disagree. Know-it-alls tend to flourish and exaggerate or make up information to support what they're saying. You can always ask them to cite their sources. The territory is a little trickier when dealing with know-it-all family members because they are experts at pushing our buttons and causing us to lose self-control. In this case, you will probably have to apply some psychology. One thing to do is to change the subject. Another thing you can do is avoid sensitive subjects or ones that you know will trigger their know-it-all behavior. But if you do get caught up in a debate with a family member that you can't win, you will have to be the bigger person. Just say something like, "I didn't mean to bring that up. I know that I touched on a sensitive subject." Or, "I don't want to argue with you. Let's call a truce and talk about something else." Another way to deal with a know-it-all family member is to react the opposite way they expect you to. If they are going off on a tangent about something they know you disagree with, just agree with them. That should stop them in their tracks. Now, outside of your family, if you find yourself dealing with a Webster, an educated know-it-all, you'll have to approach them a little differently. If you want them to respect your opinion, you have to know what you're talking about. If it is possible to anticipate the subject matter, do your homework and study up on it. It's also important to be a good listener. If you can summarize and restate their points, you can then raise provocative questions phrased in ways that don't sound like you are attacking their ideas. You can show respect for their knowledge and allow them to claim the expert role while challenging them by saying something like, "This may or may not be an alternative, but," or, "Could we viably consider," or, "What do you anticipate the long-term results of this to be?" Sometimes these people are overly eager to help by correcting what others say. There are some people who cannot let a mistake slide without pointing it out, addressing it, or correcting it. Mistakes made by other people also gives them the perfect excuse to impress or one-up those around them with their knowledge on the topic. Anxious to tell what they know, know-it-alls are not the best at tact, appropriateness, or timing. When they capitalize on an opportunity such as this, their delivery is often abrasive. Some know-it-alls feel the need to chronically offer unsolicited information. If this is a problem for you, the best way to handle it when it happens is to just say, "Thank you," and leave it at that. Or, "That was interesting. Thank you for sharing. Please excuse me, but I have something else to do or somewhere else to go." If they persist, you can derail them with a blasé attitude by saying, "You're right," or "Whatever you say." If all else fails, find ways to avoid them altogether. After a while, they may just take the hint and stop bothering you. Understand that know-it-alls are just attention seekers. They just want to be listened to. Whatever the reason, they are looking for respect and admiration from others. Often, they lack self-confidence, so they puff themselves up trying to make others feel inferior to them. Understanding the neediness behind their actions will help you to reaffirm your own self-worth when you feel patronized by them. Those who need to tell others everything they know all the time most likely know very little. Don't feel inferior or take their behaviors personally. In fact, many of these people don't even realize that they are acting in ways that annoy others. So it is well worth the effort to try taking them aside and politely explaining that their behavior is having a negative effect on the people around them. If it's not their intention to annoy others, or if they care how they come across, that should easily solve the problem. Sometimes a few gentle reminders are needed before their behavior alters for good. We're at that point. We're a little more than halfway through the show, so I'm going to take a brief break. I'll continue this discussion immediately following the one-minute musical interlude featuring the band Love Shadows' song, "There's a Better Way." Enjoy, stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Thank you.
back to today's discussion, dealing with difficult people, know-it-alls. Look, we have all indulged in know-it-all behavior at one time or another, and we will all do it again in the future. We are not perfect, and we do have egos that need stroking and fed from time to time. We are human. This type of behavior does not become a problem until other people are bothered by it. It is for that reason that it is important we be aware of our behavior and how we impact those around us. If after listening to the first half of this show, you are wondering if you may be a chronic offender, that difficult person everyone else has to deal with, ask yourself the following questions. Do others seem bored when you start talking or avoid eye contact with you? Do they yawn or do their eyes glaze over when you talk to them or when you talk too long? Do people often make excuses to get away from you or give you reasons to get away from them? Do people have trouble getting a word in when you're talking? Do you ramble on when you're nervous? Are you always correcting what people say? While others are talking, are you thinking about what you want to say instead of listening to what they're saying? Are you a walking dictionary, encyclopedia, or trivia book? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you may need to examine your communication skills. There is such a thing as conversation etiquette. A mutually beneficial conversation flows equally between both parties unless it is understood that one of the parties wants to share an experience or vent their feelings. But in general, talking is balanced out by listening and asking questions. Topics of conversations are best when they're catered to the listener's interest. The delivery is best when the speaker makes his audience feel important. One way to show interest in others and what they have to say during a conversation is to ask them questions that encourage them to talk about themselves. An effective technique used by skilled speakers to make others feel as if they are important is interjecting the person's name into the conversation from time to time. For instance, someone might say to me, "Randy, you have probably noticed that," or, "I'm pretty sure that you can relate to that, Randy." It's important to remember that people are not sounding boards. Unless they're at a lecture, people in general are comfortable listening to someone else talk for about 30 to 60 seconds, no longer. So a good talker will be as concise as possible when conveying a thought. After that, the talking should stop, and the other person should be allowed to speak or ask questions. 80 to 90% of all communication is nonverbal. Body language gives us reliable feedback. So when speaking, it's wise to be aware of the other person's nonverbal cues. Are they yawning? Have one foot out the door or watching the clock? Are they rolling their eyes and saying, "Uh-huh"? These are clear signals that the listener is bored or tired of listening. If in doubt, pause and allow the other person to say something or ask him a question about something that concerns him. Pauses are a normal part of conversation. It is during these pauses that a speaker thinks and composes his thoughts. Know-it-alls are often uncomfortable with these voids. They feel the need to fill them up with words or sometimes even sounds. Pauses are not opportunities for the listener to interject his or her opinions or to take over the conversation like a rebounder claiming a ball for his team. If this is a problem for you, the rule of thumb is to wait about 5 seconds. If the speaker doesn't resume, ask him or her a question about something that pertains to them or the topic they were talking about. Do you tend to mindlessly ramble on when you are in uncomfortable situations? To prevent nervous rambling or uninteresting blather, practice thinking before you speak. It's always good to think before you speak. It's best to think about what you are going to say and how you will say it before the words roll off your tongue. Once they are out, it is hard to retract them. Know-it-alls typically offend on both the talking and listening aspects of conversations. The tragedy of the unyielding know-it-all is that he or she is more focused on lecturing than learning. A good communicator knows that he does not know everything about every subject. He's not afraid to admit that he doesn't know something and understands that not knowing allows for a greater learning opportunity. To listen is to learn. Other people say exactly what we need to hear when we need to hear it. When someone is talking, the other person is supposed to be listening, not interjecting or interrupting. That is self-centered behavior and disrespectful. When the listener does this, he conveys to the other person that what he has to say is more important or interesting than what the other person has to say. To show that he is interested in what the talker has to say, it is good etiquette to ask follow-up questions, and if face-to-face, to keep appropriate eye contact. I try very hard not to preach when I share knowledge with others because I want them to be interested in what I have to say. But more importantly, because in my opinion, humility is the most admirable trait any of us can possess. I am knowledgeable and well-read on a wide variety of topics related to psychology, sociology, and spirituality, enough to discuss them somewhat intellectually, but I am not an expert on any of them. I have so much to learn, as we all do. Humility and confidence is what separates the intelligent person from the know-it-all. Those who are confident and humble in their knowledge do not need to let everyone else know what they know or force their knowledge onto them. Humility and confidence is also what prevents us from needing to confront a know-it-all. Those with humility and confidence are self-assured enough not to challenge someone who obviously does not possess those same traits. Occasionally, I meet a person who knows nothing about me or my accomplishments, but begins preaching to me on a topic that I have discussed or written about. Though a part of me wants to stop them and say, "You can stop there. I just wrote a book or did a show about that very topic." I don't do that because besides it being downright rude, I just might learn something I do not know. As Lawrence J. Peters said, a man doesn't know what he knows until he knows what he doesn't know. Also, listening to what others have to say, even if I may think I already know it all, also gives me an opportunity and a perspective into their thought processes, and then it makes for more provocative conversation. There is one other benefit to being a good listener. Important spiritual messages meant for us are often delivered unknowingly through other people's words. We miss these important cues when we don't listen. If we are not listening, we will miss these messages. When we shut out information, we stunt our soul's growth and evolution. I was so turned off by the know-it-alls that surrounded me when I was a child that for most of my life, I never wanted to share my thoughts with others for fear of sounding foolish. I wish I had been given some of the tools that I am offering you today. Thankfully, I eventually did find my voice, realized that I had something worthwhile to say, and learned how to share my knowledge effectively. We all have valuable things to share, and we should all feel free to share them. This show is not intended to silence those who recognize themselves as know-it-alls. It is to help them understand what they are doing so they can improve upon it, so they can become more effective communicators and listeners. This show is about becoming more self-aware. We can't do better until we know better. Perhaps this show is a wake-up call for you and your own behavior. Maybe it will help you deal with the know-it-alls that you will surely encounter in your life or are currently encountering. Or maybe you will take the knowledge acquired here and help someone else who has this problem. At the very least, I hope you gained some skills that will help you help make you a more effective communicator. We are out of time for today, but if you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, feel free to email me at afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com. Randy is spelled R-A-N-D-I. Stop by my website, randygfine.com, and sign the guest book. I welcome feedback about my show, so you can leave comments for me there as well. And please stop by to visit me on my Facebook page, Randy G. Fine. That's RANDIGFINE. And like me, my page is filled with inspirational picture quotes that you can enjoy and share. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. More followers will get the show the recognition that it deserves. Visit my blog at randygfine.com for even more inspiration and join the list of devoted followers there. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be